We've been doing a series of various topics from the Bible, and this morning we're looking at one which kind of builds on some of the things that we've been talking about, and this is the image of God. Who is made in the image of God?
We are.
Right, we're made in the image of God. That's what we're talking about this morning. And I'm going to actually call this the glorious image of God. Who's feeling glorious this morning? Oh, that's just the one. That's good. Yeah. What does the image of God mean? There's 5 points I'm making. First, what does the image of God mean? What happened to the image of God when sin came into the world? Jesus was the perfect image of God. The image of God was restored in human beings through Jesus. And then through Jesus, we participate and live out the image of God. But what does it mean? I mean, you've heard that word. You made an image of God before. We'll read the first passage in the scriptures about that. It's from Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over the livestock and all the wild animals and over the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves along the ground." So human beings were made to reflect God himself. Now, you're going to have to work today with your brains because this is hard to understand at times. So really have to think this through. But this is, we're talking right now, before sin entered the world. Before sin entered the world, if you'd looked at Adam or Eve, you could have partly, not fully, but partly understood some things about who God was, because they reflected him. They were made in his image. You could study a human being and know something of God. It says, made in his image and his likeness. Okay. Which basically are similar things that just give a bit more depth. Now we know, those who were here when we talked about the nature of the Trinity, we heard that God himself, as Father, Son and Holy Spirit, is in a perfect relationship of love with himself. And we heard that the first couple, Adam and Eve, were made in the image of God to relate to one another in perfect love and to relate to God. So there was a relational purity. What this means is, at heart, it's not something new, God is love. And human beings were made to love. That's pretty basic, isn't it? And so the greatest commandment is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. That's a lot of all of us, isn't it? And love your neighbour as yourself. We were made for love. And true love is selfless. It's not selfish. True love is not about us. It's about serving, giving. And so just as God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are always serving and loving each other, so are we to be human beings. That's how they were created. That's the first part of one part of the likeness or the image. The second part is they were to rule over creation. It says that repeated a number of times. Under God, of course, we weren't made to be God. That upsets a lot of people. We weren't made to rule over everything. We were made to rule under God over all the things that he's given us. So in Psalm 8, verse 4, it says, "What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honour. You made them rulers over the works of your hands and you put everything under their feet." You see that you crowned them with glory and honour and made them to rule over. You put everything under their feet. So you had God who created human beings who were to rule over all of creation. And that would have been a great and beautiful thing had sin not entered the world. But you see, if we live in love as God lives, and if we rule using our authority to serve and care for others, then we are crowned with glory and honour. We are truly human beings. If you live like that, if we were to spend all of our lives loving and caring and ruling over those, whether in whatever way we have authority, we would be glorious and actually, as far as human beings go, normal. That's a normal human being. Do you get that? Not abnormal. Okay. Before sin entered the world. The only glory human beings will ever have is when they are like God. Okay. We sometimes say, look at that boy. He is just so much like his dad. You ever said that? And sometimes that means in looks. And there's definitely that sometimes. And sometimes that means in mannerisms, in words, in sayings. Sometimes you hear kids say some terrible stuff and you know where that's come from. we know that. And of the image of God the image of man in Genesis 5:3, it says, when Adam had lived for 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness. After his image, he named him Seth. And you get a picture of what Seth was like Adam. Whether he looked like him, he probably did. He acted like him. He probably spoke like him. He had his mannerisms, his nature. When humanity loves as God loves, rules compassionately and with care, they look like God. They're in his image. And likeness. Does that make sense? That's how we're created to be. It's a beautiful thing to live as God is. Okay, what happened to that image when sin entered the world? Well, Paul tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The glory of God. You notice there? It doesn't say all have sinned and fallen short of the rules that God made. God made a lot of rules and you fell short of them. Or it doesn't even say, and all sinned and fell short of God's expectations. But fell short of the glory of God as they were to live in the image of God. That's what we've fallen from. We don't live as we were made to live. We have rejected our glory. We've rejected God's glory. Sin takes away our glory, takes away our purity. We were made to love perfectly, to care perfectly, but we exchange that for a lie and humans become selfish and greedy and demeaning and violent and liars and all forms of sin, which basically means not like God. That's what sin's like. Where we want to be our own God. And the horror of sin is that every time we sin in that way, we are rejecting the very nature of God. We're saying, we don't like you the way you are, God. We've got a better way. Yeah, you're all on about truth. We're on about lies. That's heaps better. Yeah, you're all about love. Well, let's have a bit of hatred. That's got to be better, doesn't it? Yeah, that's... Yeah, you're in gentleness. Well, we're going to have... control, not self-control. We're going to rule over others viciously. And what that means is sin steals God's glory, his love, and tears that down, and it actually dehumanizes us. We become in part unhuman because we are not as humans were made to be. We become opposite, in a sense, to how we're created to be. And so, from the time that Adam and Eve sinned, sin was bred into humanity. And children now, from the time of birth, are selfish. They're self-centered. They throw tantrums when they don't get their own way. We don't have to teach them selfishness. Never taught it. No one's had to teach their child that. It is bred into them. It is part of the sinful nature. And to be honest, sometimes you've got to admit, it is a sweet feeling to be selfish, isn't it? Yeah, just serve me. It's all about me. Yeah, that's if we were to be honest. And steal and tear down the glory of God. You see, sin is an affront to God's nature, and it's an affront to our own nature. It's not who we were made to be. There is still a remnant of the image of God and the likeness of God in humanity. A remnant. Sometimes it's barely recognisable, but it's there. After the fall and then after the flood, God is speaking to Noah in Genesis 9. And he says, you know, I'm making a covenant with you. There's a sign of the bow in the sky, the rainbow. And then he says, whoever sheds human blood, by humans shall their blood be shed. For in the image of God has God created mankind. He's saying there is still the image of God in mankind. He's also saying there will now be murder. There will be hatred. There will be bloodshed. And it's not right because we are made in the image of God. Now, I don't want to talk about this greatly today, but I'll just encourage you, if you go home and think about this, the only thing in this world, in all of the doctrines that are sprouted on TV and Q&A and everything else about the value of people, the only thing which actually gives value to a human being is being made in the image of God. When other people say we all have value, they will generally tear somebody down. We all have value except for the conservatives. Oh, the conservatives. We all have value except for the liberals. Or we all have, because of the race, or because of gender, or whatever else, or we have no value when you're in the womb, or you have no value when you're an old person. The only thing that says every person has value is the image of God. And if you take that away, humans are basically worthless. Okay, I don't want to deal with that today, but I want you to think about that at some time. When God says, you're made in the image of God, therefore there shall be no murder, he is actually saying humanity is still, from the unborn child to the oldest of people, of great value because they are made in God's image. And part two of what God says to Noah is he now says, with regard to ruling over creation, yes, you will rule over creation, but it will be with fear and dread. Why? Because humans will rule selfishly and greedily, and not for the good of creation, but for themselves. So, simply to say this, human beings, by their sin, have messed everything up. That's how you say it in basic terms, including messed themselves up. Messed up the way we were made to be. We have thrown away our glory and exchanged it for a lie, which brings no joy, no peace, or anything good. Part three was this. There was one human being who lived perfectly in the image of God, and that was Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus is altogether wonderful. That's what Jesus is. He lived perfectly in love. He had all authority and he used it to give up his life, to lay down his life. He lived as God lived. Colossians 1:15 says, the Son, Jesus, that is the image of the invisible God. He is the image of God. And 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this age, that's the devil, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see. So there's unbelievers who can't see what? The light of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. That's what people are blinded to by the devil. They can't see the light of the gospel, which shines and opens our eyes, and that gospel shows us the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Christ is the image of God. He is perfectly God. And he rules over this world in love, and he rules over this world in care, And he lives by, and then he gave up his life for rebellious humanity, even when they weren't loving him, when they weren't respecting him, except, in fact, the absolute opposite. So what he did was live perfectly who God is on this earth. That makes sense? Jesus is awesome, another way you could say it. There is none greater than him. What did he do in his life by living and dying for sinners? Well, actually, the Bible tells us he was restoring the glory of human beings who put their faith in him. So I read to you before, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we've thrown away the glory that we had of God. But and all are justified, that is made right with God, freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. So, our sin and rebellion didn't change God's nature. How could you change God anyway? He is the same forever. And if forever God has been the God of love, then after we sinned, he showed the depths of his love. He showed what that love actually looks like in that he sent his Son, who was in the perfect likeness of God, to die for sinners. And we are all sinners. And Jesus showed the grace of God's redemption. That means we did not deserve it, but he blessed us by Jesus bearing God's righteous anger for our sin. He bore our despising of God. He bore the punishment for that on the cross once and for all. And we receive that by faith. So when you trust in Jesus Christ, you are restored to the image of God. Now, I'm going to talk about this in three tenses. We'll talk about the first one. You have been restored. You are justified. You are made back to the image of God. Do you believe that? God has restored you. And that is eternal, but then I'm jumping ahead. But he has done this for you. Okay. Now, there is also an ongoing work of God, not an ongoing work of you. And he is changing us, the Bible tells us, from glory to glory. So we're glorious and we're getting more glorious. He's doing that work. Paul says, there's a couple of verses which speak to this, but Paul says in Colossians 3, do not lie to each other, since you've taken off the old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge, in the image of its creator. You have been restored to the image of God. You get that? Through Jesus, you have been restored to the image of God. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying it as an ongoing thing. He's saying, which is being renewed. Okay. So point one of this was, you have been renewed by Christ to the image of God. But point two is, you are being renewed. It's an ongoing process. Again, he is doing that. So 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate God's glory. In other words, do you know, if you've got sin, you can't look at God at all, can you? But he has taken the veil off because your sin has been taken away by Jesus, and you can stare at God, and as you do, you are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. This is not you making yourself a better person, because you can't, okay? But it is him restoring you to an ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The Holy Spirit living in you is bringing you from glory to glory. He is making you, quite simply, more like Jesus. So you are glorious, but you're being made more glorious. Do you get that? Paul says it in another way in Ephesians 4, verse 20. But that, and he's been talking about, there's all sorts of sins that you live in. He says, but that is not the way you learn Christ. Assuming that you heard about him and were taught of him as the truth in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness, or sanctification, as holiness means. So what he's saying is, that old corrupt self, that is no longer you. You had, that's the old self. You have put on a new self through Christ Jesus, and he is restoring you and glorifying you more and more. Okay, so you have been made, you have been restored the image of God, we could say. You are being restored the image of God. And then finally, in 1 John 3, verse 2, to be restored to the image of God, by the way, would be to be restored to be children of God who look like your father, wouldn't it? In 1 John 3, 2, he says, dear friends, now we are children of God. Hold on to that one forever. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So when Christ returns, you will be seen to be perfectly in the image of God. And by the way, you will no longer have that old sin that you fight with. You will, that will no longer be you. You will be restored once and for all. You are going to be completely glorious through Jesus. Right, you're getting this?
Yeah.
Glorious people. Being made more glorious and one day fully glorious. Okay, sounds good. In Isaiah, it speaks of a time where God, when Jesus returns, really, when God will call all people back, and it says in Isaiah 43, verse 6, I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. God made us for his glory. He made us to reflect his glory. And one day he will call us all home and we will be fully glorious forever. Forever. That's pretty good, isn't it? Because you'll be children of God. And there won't be anything in you that will rebel against God anymore. You'll be fully his. Yep. 1 Corinthians 15:49 says, and just as we've borne the image of the earthly man who's Adam, so now we shall bear the image of the heavenly man who is Jesus. So can I encourage you this? Don't put your hope in the things of this world. Don't put your hope in the gods of this age, but in Jesus Christ alone, because he is glorious and he has made you glorious. The last part of the message, number 5, is how do we participate in the image of God? Okay. We live in the image of God as God's children. 2 Peter 1 verse 3 says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life, through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. Okay, firstly he says we have been given everything we need for a godly life. It has been given to us, right? That has happened. It has come by God's divine power, not by us. That it's really good news that we don't have to make ourselves good, isn't it? Because if you've ever had a go at changing yourself, you find that you're a bit of a stuff up, right? We're not very good at changing ourselves. But everything has happened by his divine power. He's given us everything we need for a godly life, through our knowledge of him. So we grow in the knowledge of the glory of God. And as we grow in the knowledge of glory of God, we just heard we are being made more glorious. And this all comes by the Spirit who is transforming us, and he's called us and he's changing us. And we are always, at every moment, completely connected to Jesus, because everything we have comes from him. And our lives have been bought by him and they've been redeemed through him. So we don't belong to ourselves and we're not our own. And we walk by faith and not by sight. We look to Jesus all the time. And as we do this, we participate in the divine nature by his promises. That doesn't mean we become little gods, but we participate in, we live in the image of God, which is what we're made to be. The Holy Spirit drives us and compels us to love. And it is a beautiful thing to actually love. And I'm not just talking about that feelingsy, childish love. I'm talking about a love that gives up of ourselves for another person. I'm talking about love with guts. We actually live because that's the love that God has, to love one another. And not only that, we actually start to use our authority to rule selflessly for the good of others. We're no longer slaves to our own greed and our own self-glory. We have the Holy Spirit in us. And you know what the Holy Spirit does for us? Gives us the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Okay? Do you know what? If you have all those things, the Holy Spirit, that means the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit living in you, is driving you to love and have patience, kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and goodness and self-control, and the other one I forgot. Right? Huh?
Long-suffering.
Long-suffering. Okay. The Holy Spirit in you is bringing you that. And do you know what that means? It means you look like God. You reflect his image. You live as he is. That's what it means. If you had all those things, and by having the Holy Spirit, when do you receive the Holy Spirit? When you have faith in Christ. He starts working in you and he drives you to be that person. Which means he's restoring you to the image of God. So we participate in the divine nature. And that quite simply means we are glorious. And that has been God's plan for you even before you came to be. It's his plan to restore people. You see, when sin came into the world, God didn't go, "Oh no, I never thought that would happen. That's a bit of a mess. What do I do now?" God's plan had been before time, that somehow through the action of perfection, sin, destruction, restoration, somehow through all of that, he would display the glorious love and grace of God. The grace and love of God that we could never know unless we have been through that. I want to finish by Romans 8 verse 29 says this. For those God foreknew, he foreknew before they even were. So you're in God's mind before you came to be even conceived. Isn't that cool? That gives you some value, doesn't it? For those God foreknew, he also predestined. So he pre-organized their destiny. That means that if you're a Christian, you are safe. Don't think you're going to just accidentally fall out of salvation. If he's got a preset destiny for you, try and change it. You can't. That gives us assurance and peace. For those God foreknew, he also predestined for what? To be conformed to the image of his son. That he, that's Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. So in other words, as Jesus was, so will be many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, those he pre-organized their destiny, he called at the right time. He called us to faith. Some of it happened when we were young, some when we were old. But in his time, he called us. And those he called, he also justified. He made us right with God. He restored us. And those he justified, he also glorified. Isn't that awesome? He glorified us by making us in the image of God. There is nothing better than living as God created us to be. And we have this glorious God of grace who has saved us to that. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would take this message and penetrate our hearts with it, because there are many days we don't feel that glorious, and there are many days where sin comes up and overtakes us, and we live not as we were made to be. And Father, even worse, there are many days where we forget Jesus and what he's done for us. So I pray that you would remind us again of the forgiveness that you've brought through Jesus on the cross. I pray that you would remind us of the restoration that that forgiveness brought. And Father, I pray that you would remind us in the power of your Spirit that we are your children. Father, show us the glory of your nature, that we might live in it, and that we might have confidence that not only were we made for this glory, but that we will one day be full of your glory as we live with you forever, our wonderful Father. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.